just read a portion of chapter 15 of the Book of Psalms and the reference starts. Starting in verse 1 in chapter 15 in the Book of Psalms. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that worketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And who dies a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own heart makes a promise that's cost some something, hurt some personally, and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury for interest, that is, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Portion I'm going to read in Acts, Luke's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples about the scriptures, and he told them that all the scriptures spoke of him. And I've just written it in a couple of simple sentences. All the scriptures spoke of himself. And he said, concerning those scriptures that spoke of himself, he said that before Christ must suffer, that Christ must die, that Christ must be raised from the dead again. And that was the message of the scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And he said that all of the scriptures are speaking of these things. The scriptures spoke of many other things before Christ would come to keep sin at bay, and also to teach man the ability to keep God's standards. But all of these things were designed to point man to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So here in this book of the Bible, when we look at that book, if you don't know anything about the Bible, I would tell you, you can approach it with this thought. In this book, you have to see Christ. In this book, you have to look for Christ. In this book, you have to find Christ. And you have to obey Christ. This is what this book is all about. It's God's mark unto eternal life. And it points us to one way, Jesus himself. This is what scriptures are, the word of God. So much so that when Peter was commanded, and other apostles with him, to go into the temple and to teach the people, they were told that to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was this, to speak unto them all the words of this life. When the apostles went in, Peter had been bound in prison, and another apostle with him, and he went back into the temple, witnessed by an angel. The prison had been opened up, and they went back, and they were commanded, speak unto them all the words of this life. And when they went, and they looked up, and that's chapter 5, when they went into the temple, they spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the condemnation which the rulers of the Jews brought against them was this, that you intend to fill Jerusalem with your doctrine concerning this man, because they've been commanded to teach no more in his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you intend, they say, to accuse the apostles to bring upon us his blood. All the words of this life, the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life on the cross for our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, whose precious blood was shed for our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, help me. The scriptures say that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given by God under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I will take that word and I will impress upon you, you must be saved. If you're out of Christ tonight, whatever else you have or don't have, if you don't have Christ, you have nothing, and everything else you have amounts to nothing. And you must be saved from that. If you are not saved from that, you will perish. So I make this tonight, but the Son, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Peter preached and preaching Christ all the words of this life. And my message tonight would be, I suppose, to give a title, God's answer to life's biggest questions. God's answer to life's biggest questions. What questions do we ask? We all have questions. I'll look at that title under a couple of heads. The questions that God inspires. The questions that God inspires. There are some here tonight, we have the inspired word of God. And it brings a question before us. Two questions that come out at the same time. And it's questions that God inspires. Are you asking the right questions? What questions do you ask? What are you seeking in life? What do you think is the most important thing in life? When the whole you're seeking and asking and trying to find out, is it the things of God that would have you be concerned with? Because here you have before us questions that God inspired. How do you know that God is drawing you? You can come to the scriptures and see the effects of God's drawing power. God's power drawing a man results in asking questions which he inspires. And here we are tonight, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Are you asking that question tonight? Have you ever asked it in earnest? Have you had an answer to that question? The answer to that question is God's answer. The answer you need. Nothing else do you need but the answer to that question. Because if that's answered rightly, and you could know for sure that God has spoken to you, and you respond to Him as the Scripture calls you to respond, you'll know that when you receive Christ, you have everything that matters. And everything else would amount to nothing in comparison to God. The question God inspired. So a couple of points from the left. Here's the type of question God inspired. Firstly, the question God inspired seeks a personal answer from God. You might know that God's working in your heart when you're drawn to God for the answers. Here the writer says, Lord, who shall abide in my tabernacle? And I pray to the Lord. Who do you look to for help? Who do you look to for answers? Who have you been looking to until now? Have you ever ceased from your own reasonings and come to the scriptures and look to God to see what does God see? There's no question here about the reality of God. The psalmist is in accordance, he's of the same mind as the life of the book of Genesis, because he's filled with the same spirit. He's inspired by the same spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no question about the reality of God. It's assumed in a part that's undeniable. Here, there's no question of the reality of the Lord. Lord is there. And the man comes to ask a question. Who shall abide? Who do we go to? You know, the scriptures tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible to please the only one you really need to please. The only one that you'll ever have to really answer to with any great effect upon you. God wants us to ask Him. Who will go to your heaven? What type of person will be there? My active person. Go to God. That's the exhortation and that verse. The question God inspires seeks an answer from God. Ask, the scripture says, and shall be given to you. Seek and shall be found. If not, the door shall be opened unto you. I don't have the answers. I must ask them. Dear friends here tonight, whoever you are, every single one of you, if you don't have the answer neither, not a single one. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that in the authority of God's word. We have the scriptures given to us because the answer needs to come from God. Will you go to Him? for your answers. The question of God inspired us, secondly, seeks personal salvation. And that's right in our text. It seeks personal salvation. What questions next are you asking? If you go to God for an answer, what do you ask Him? Are there things He's concerned about? We come to God who has trusted in Christ for every single thing. But I couldn't go to God with any of those things if He hadn't answered the one great need in my life, the need of my soul's salvation. Because He has answered that perfectly and positively, and because I know it, everything else is nothing in comparison. The scripture says that He who spared not His only begotten Son, but gave Him freely for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And the reason from the greatest thing to everything else, which doesn't even compare. I can go to God about everything that troubles me. I can go to God in any place at any time. Why? Because Christ died for me, and my soul is saved. What do you go to God about? Personal salvation is the first thing. And it's here. Who shall abide in my tabernacle? Where God is. God's heaven. Who shall dwell? That means go on. In my holy hell. Where God is. Eternal destinies are what's in here. You know, there's an eternal destiny for each one of us. There's an eternity, and it belongs to God, who is eternal. And it shall be spent in either of two places. It shall be spent where God is, and all the perfection of His beauty, it will be there in heaven, by tabernacle, by holy hell. Or, make no mistake about it, if you never come to Christ, you have an eternal destiny. And it shall not be there. It shall be in hell. Because that's where you deserve to be. That's where I deserve to be. That's why Christ died. He was punished in my place. And Christ died for sinners like you. And if you trust in Him, you'll be saved. The question God in fire seeks personal salvation. Who shall be there? The personal salvation of myself, but then it makes a bit of it. Who shall be there? And I'll show you tonight. God moved my heart in a way which is very burdensome tonight. And laid it on my heart, something I believe will make work for you. God is concerned where you spend your eternity. God gives His desire and His concern to the hearts of His people who know something about it. What it is for God to love a sinner. You see it at the cross. How much does God love the world or lost sinners like you and me? How long is the measure of His love? He sent one who is God, as the eternal Son, to come to earth and become a man. Like you and me in every way except sin. A true man, a full man, a perfect man. And walked this earth sinless. And He sent Him to the cross. And He was punished there for my sins. And He was punished for the sins of this whole world. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you asking God that question? Have you ever asked God about your eternal soul? Or did you come to that hand with things which will pass when you leave this life? And you'll have no more interest in them again for all eternity. And there you'll be in God's eternity without Christ. And you'll know what fool you have been. And the regret will gnaw your soul for all eternity. And generation after generation, you may see those who followed your example of unbelief. Of the man who went to hell, as recorded in Luke chapter 6, and his concern was for his family. His concern was for his brethren who were in his father's house,
He knew how he'd been raised.
I fancy that he had a father who didn't preach the gospel. He knew how he responded. And he knew there was other fight from in his household. And he says, unless they also come to that awful place. And he was told they have Moses and the prophets, they have the Bible, God's word. Let them hear them. There was nothing else God was going to say but what he has said in his word. God's answer. The word concerning his son, Jesus Christ. How much a torment hell must be for those who are suffering an eternal flame. How much it must increase as they see friends come. And here they mutter the same things which will never be answered. And here they cry for loved ones. And cry with all their heart to have no answer from God. And God has given an answer. Generation after generation, hell gets worse and worse and more dreadful as eternity unfolds. Let me ask you, have you ever asked God about your soul's salvation? Have you ever asked Him about your eternal destiny? Have you ever come to Him and said, show me what kind of person can go there? Because God has an answer to that type of question. Concerning Jesus. The question God inquired thirdly seeks perfect personal assurance. On the ground of God's answer, on the ground of God's revelation, it seeks a perfect personal assurance. How can you live a life for God when there's so many things to try your Christian life? How can you live a life of victory? Knowing God has placed me here. Knowing God would have me do this. Knowing God has a plan for me to do this or that. All flows from that same fountain of faith which is found in Christ. And God answers that right question about your salvation. You can have assurance. Assurance is what God promises. I've never asked Him for that. Have you ever come to God and asked about your eternal destiny and say, Lord, show me how I can know that for certainty. Show me how I can be sure this is the way. So that you can with absolute confidence rest your life upon Jesus Christ. You know, God's word gives that assurance. Scripture says, Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ said about that same scripture, these scriptures which you will all be defending, speak of Him, has death and resurrection, has shed blood for sin. The scripture cannot be broken. Its message is steadfast. It's the message concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, ask us the questions that God inspires. Have you ever asked Him? God has answers. That's what we're going to get next. The answer of God gives. The answer of God gives are all bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, the answer of a perfect substitute. That's not too bad a word, I think, for the young people in here. Most of you know about football and that. You know what some is? Substitute. When somebody's tired or injured and they can't do what they're supposed to do on the field anymore, they can come off. Somebody fresh who can do that job goes on and does it. Replaces the football player. The Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect substitute. And we see that in this scripture. Here is the answer. Who shall abide in my tabernacle? Who shall dwell in my holy hill? Lord, what about this matter of eternal salvation, eternal destinies? What about my personal salvation? Can I be there? And the answer is this. If you match this description, you should be here. The trouble is the description we're going to see, none of us have it. And therefore, in God's mercy, God provided one who does match this description, one who does meet the standard, one who does fulfill all God's will, the type of person who can go there, the type of man who can abide there and dwell there, and continue there forever. A perfect substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in another place. He came into this world because none of us
can do that. Definitely. Heals the mind and goes to heaven. He that walketh uprightly. And what we have in view here is the direction of our lives. Walketh uprightly. It's not about how we walk physically. It's about the motivation behind everything we do. What direction is our life going in? Where is your life going? If you never ask God these important questions, what type of questions do you occupy your mind? What are the things that concern you? What things do you set up in your life as the be all and end all of it all? Your heart's known. So answer on yourself, but God knows also. The direction of your life is not beyond God's way. Neither have I been. If God sent one from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, you and everything was about his Father's business. The whole beginning to the end of his life went in the course of God's will. The path that the Lord had prepared for man to walk, Jesus Christ never strayed from it once. It was always in his heart. He always did the things that pleased God. That's the type of man God has provided for people who never perfectly or continually. And before we take Christ, us we are saved now, we never walk God's path. The Bible says, he like sheep and gone astray. Everyone has gone his own way. Answer that question and be honest. If your mind's not been concerned with the question God would have you ask, and with God's answers, admit the truth. Isn't it all about your way? I don't know about what you want to do. Is that not the way you live your life? Does it not upset you if anybody asks you to do anything different to your life? Is that not what your life's about? That's what mine is about. And the Bible says that's concerning us all. So we sent one who would walk God for you. The direction of his life, who worketh righteousness, the works of his hand, everything he did was right. That's what righteousness means. That was God's judgment to be right. And he is the judge, and judgment is what matters. None of us have done that. God provided a perfect substitute. One who life has been find the right way, who works the right things in his life, who speaketh the truth. I believe I'm speaking truth here tonight. But my lips. I believe I'm speaking it from my heart. But imperfectly. He provided one who speaketh. Those one speaking the truth in his heart. One who is the truth. I am the way, the truth, he says, and the life. No man, no person, no young person or old person, under your background, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he says. He that baptizeth not with his tongue ever spoke against someone, ever spoke behind their back, and it makes you a backbiter. Your tongue has been used as a weapon from backbiting. You ever done that? That's what God calls you a backbiter. Someone who's never done that in their life, that's the person you go there. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor do it evil to his neighbour. Now we think, oh, I'm not doing anything too bad. But when God sees you, he means everything is out of sync with what he is. Everything that does not match up to all the fullness, all the continuous fullness of his perfections. He that doeth not evil to his neighbour. That condemns every single one of us. When we start to ask God's questions, who shall abide there? Quickly we find out in God's answer that he means, you are not worthy. I am not worthy. No man on the whole face of the earth will ever be back now, whoever they are, unworthy. We fall short of God's standards. We fall short of his glory. And God says, only one who does not fall short shall be there. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. Now, I don't want to say anything that will take away from the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ loves sinners. has eyes so pure, he can bend down to the Pharaoh's grasp. The scripture says God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. When he came at that time, he did not come to condemn people at that time. But you know, the Bible tells us he is the judge of all the earth. And it's God himself who condemns sinners in the first place for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as that perfect man, when he beheld vile men, and in the context of that scripture, I would back to me, men who are deceitful, men who are not true about the questions they ask, men who do not really keep an answer from God. I saw a shrine, saw a front. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he departed from certain people. He says, for he was commending me, and he said, because he needed not any testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And what did he do with people like that? And with God walked away from him. When he came to Herod, and Herod had said, everything he could do to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ had no answer at all. He was silent. And the one who was given life was silent. And in fact, no life to a vile man. I'll encourage you, the Lord Jesus Christ loves sinners. He sees the heart. When you come to God, we see his questions like you. Make sure you are really asking for an answer. Make sure you are really ready for life. For he warns us, take heed how you live. Take heed how you live. He sees what's in the heart. But for those who really seek, there's an answer. This perfect substitute, this answer that is given, this perfect standard condemns us. But God says, I've sent my son who fulfills all these things, and I am providing him to be a substitute for you who do not fulfill them. I love you. Ask the questions. Listen to God's answer. That is Christ. As Christ, receive God's answer. As Christ, a perfect sacrifice. The answer God gives is a perfect substitute who is also a perfect sacrifice. A perfect substitute we see a life that we never lived. A perfect sacrifice, a death we never died. And the Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled all things that God demanded in this world. He took that holy life, that perfect life, which always pleased the Father, and he went to the cross. And nothing would come in from the cross, even one of his own disciples, sanctified him, made him well. You say, Lord, that shall not be unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ, fixed on the purposes of God to die for sinners, come down and rebuke him sharp, so sharply, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, but what Satan is adversary? If you are against the cross of Christ, you are an adversary. You stand between God and men's salvation. God burnt up, a perfect substitute, a perfect sacrifice. Remember the question that was asked here, God, who shall abide in my tabernacle? The question was about the tabernacle, it was believed that was there, Lord, not dwelling place was there. As who shall be there? Think about the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute, the one who laid down his life for his people. How is it actually described in the New Testament as a sacrifice? It's called the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist beheld him and said, behold, that is the law of command, listen, an answer from God, hear it and obey it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. And those disciples went after him in obedience, and they came and the Lord Jesus turned and he saw them. This is how the Lord responds to us. It's how he responded to me and every believer here. And if you're out of Christ, whatever your background, this is how he'll respond to you if you go to him for an answer. He turned around. He was aware they were seeking him. He turned around to him, he looked at them, and he asked them, What's he doing? What are you after? A question. What questions are you interested in? What is it that's in your heart and mind? If you're seeking what God would have you seek, you'll find God that encourages you in the way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? It's kind of a question turned around. A question here is, who shall abide in my tabernacle? No question about the place, but who? Now they come to the one who has been revealed to them as the Lamb of God, and it's not who. That's wherever you are, they want to be. Where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Because he said the same to everyone who looks for him. Come and see. Come and see. And the abode with him, not like it says. The abode with him. Who may dwell? Who shall dwell? Who shall abide? That's the perfect one. And all those who are hidden inside him are their substitute. All those who seek him and want to be where he is. He says to them, come, and they are bold for him. Where is he? Because he stayed back wherever he is. That's about being with him. He said a prayer to the Father, and the prayer was that concerning his people, that they may be with me where I am. So it says, search a treasure for Christ and ascend into heaven. And he is in that tabernacle of God. He is in that holy house of the Father. God says, yet have I set my thing upon my holy hill of Zion. And I know that's going to be fulfilled in other ways yet. Nevertheless, that's fulfilled to be true. Because that's the name of God's dwelling place. And he's there. So we seek him. And we ask him, Rabbi, where do you ask him? Perfect sacrifice. What's the perfect? We spoke about the question seeks a perfect personal assurance. The answer is, God gives the answer of a perfect surety, which is God's promise. Look at the end of that chapter. We see the sacrifice, I didn't go into it in detail, because I think we might walk on other scriptures that spoke about it. But that's why, he that putteth not out of money to usury, therefore, he that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. What hell has the cross in view? God had made an eternal covenant, an eternal testament. That's why we call the New Testament the New Testament, it's a new covenant in the blood of Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Hebrews like to tell us, say, puts it that way, the blood of an everlasting covenant. Jesus Christ made a promise, the Father made a promise concerning all those who would be saved. That we bought by his precious blood, and he swore to his own heart. That hurt him. That hurt him. And he changed him all. And at the cross, he finished the work. That is finished, he gave his life. And based on that, a perfectly fulfilled promise, a perfect life, a perfect sacrifice, God gave us. Those who come to him, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. When we come to Jesus Christ, we find that Jesus Christ comes to us, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to dwell within us. And the things he does, we begin to do. And even though we do them so imperfectly, it's not our feeling that God has been healing. Before his perfect blood has been shed, he washes us from our sins, cleanses us thoroughly before God's sight. And it's Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness the Father sees. And therefore, in that day, when God judges this morning, and anyone who is trusted in Christ here, and anyone who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will look at you, and you'll look at the works that Jesus Christ did perfectly. And he'll judge you as if you did them perfectly. because you have received Jesus into your life. Now, would you like to have that? Would you like to have that in the day of judgment? That you have received is actually a perfect person. Let me tell you, you may have that in him. What are you looking for in this life? What are you messing around with questions which God doesn't even that God doesn't take time to address? These are the things that matter. Who shall abide in my holy house? Everybody who's in Jesus. May God grant you the wisdom for the foolishness not to, the wisdom to come to Him. And He gives you that faith. And I look to Him now for the new life. Before I close in prayer, you don't need to go away. You can trust Him where you are. If you believe what He's saying in order to, why linger? Why wait? Just in your hearts, say to God now, forgive me of my sins. Say to Him right where you are, come into my life and forgive me. Take Jesus' righteousness and place it upon me because I have none of my own. And God delights to answer that prayer. And you can walk out here safe tonight. A new person, a new creation, with a new destiny. Truly pray for my heart that you'll have that out of your experience. Just close in prayer. For loving God and Father, we thank you for this awesome gospel, this good news, Lord Father, which has no equivalent. Lord, nothing compares, and we praise you. And we pray, Father, as we know that only you can save. And as some of us know in our experience how you have saved, we pray, O Lord, that others may be saved too. Have mercy, Father, and grant through the bench, turn hearts away from the Lord's thoughts, to be occupied with your thoughts. And Father, give that faith which trusts in Christ and is saved by that. We ask in Jesus' most holy and mighty name. Amen.